Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Tonight I want to talk to everybody about living the covenant. Amen. How many know we have a covenant with God, right? How many feel like you're living it 24/7, right? That's tough to do. But if you put it into practice, you can see the results of the covenant, right? There's a big difference between knowing the covenant and what the covenant says, right? And just so we're all clear, this is the covenant right here, right? What's in the word? And then actually living in the fullness of it, right? A lot of people have head knowledge. I think Pastor always gives like a great example whenever he was younger and, you know, not living right. If you were to ask him, you know, if Jesus is the way and the truth and the life and the only way to get to heaven, he would have said yes, right? So he knew the knowledge, but he wasn't living in the fullness of it, right? And that's easy to do. It's easy to know what the scripture says, right? Especially if you've been going to church for a number of years, right? You're just through the passage of time, you're going to just hear scripture over and over and over again. And you can know what it says, but until you're putting it into practice in your life, you may not see the results of it, right? So when we talk about a covenant, you know, what is a covenant exactly? And that's just an agreement or a binding promise between two or more parties, right? And both parties have an obligation to one another. So like in my job, I deal with sometimes contracts, which is the worst. But you have to deal with contracts. And normally when everything's going fine, you never even pull up a contract, right? But when something goes wrong, that's when you dust the old contract out and you start looking through like what are my rights here? What can I do? I don't like what's happening right now. What can I do about it? And if you've got a good contract, you have some levers that you can pull, right? But the main important thing is that both parties have a responsibility whenever you're in covenant, right? So God gives us his promises, but we have to live for him, right? And we have to do what the word says to experience the fullness of those promises. And this Bible, the covenant, is just chock full of tons of promises. And we're going to cover just a few of them, but there are loads and loads and loads whenever you study it out, just constant promises, right? So the first step is knowing what the covenant says, which we're going to talk about this. Let's go to John 4:4. Amen. John 4:4. So, you know, the first thing you have to realize is that you have authority in your life, right? You have authority over the devil. You have authority over circumstances. Now, you may not always be able to stop circumstances from coming your way. And when I say circumstances, like negative things happening, right? But you can live in God's fullness to get yourself out of those circumstances by taking your authority. So if we go to, First John, guys. I said John. That's my bad. 1 John 4, got you going all over the place here. So 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world," right? So this is telling us that we have some say-so in our life, right? Who we have on the inside of us is greater than who's operating out in the world, okay? And so it's really important to realize that whenever you're talking about the covenant, to take it from an authoritative approach, right? Not quoting scriptures like in weak, puny voice, right? You got to say it with some authority, right? Because you believe this, don't you? Amen? We believe this. And so whenever we're speaking over circumstances in our life, we have to say it with some authority, knowing that God's going to back us up. Let's go to Galatians 3. Amen. Talking about living the covenant. Galatians 3, let's go. Are you there? We'll go over to, let's see here. So 3:29 says, "And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise," right? So that if it says here, "And if you be Christ," that means if you're a Christian, right? If you've invited Jesus into your heart, if you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, then you're Abraham's seed. How many remember Abraham, right? He had it pretty good. He had a part of what they would call the Abrahamic covenant, right? That's where we first see the blessing appear, like right off the bat in Genesis, right? You start to see the blessing and everything. But what I like here and what I want to focus in on is it says, "and heirs according to the promise." I like that, right? Whenever you're an heir, that means you've got something coming your way, right? So one day, our kids are going to be heirs, right? And they're going to get whatever we got, right? Kids, don't get too focused on that, all right? Let's focus more on the blessing. But one of the definitions of heir is to continue the legacy. And I love that, right? If we're part of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, we're supposed to continue that legacy that Abraham started, okay? That's part of the covenant. And so there are promises about so many areas in our lives, and we're going to just really focus on the three main areas. I feel like if you got these three down, you're off to a great start. We're going to talk about finances, your physical health, and your mental health, right? The Bible's got promises that cover all three of those things in depth, okay? So we'll talk about finances first. So I'll just start off by saying I hate lack, right? Whenever I was younger, and you know, we all start out that way, you know, just broke, can't do anything you want to do, you don't have the money, you're worried about paying bills. I hate what lack does to you, right? All your focus is on what you don't have. Am I going to be able to make this payment? I can remember whenever, you know, I was first starting out doing my budget, and every month I was $200 short, right? $200. And that $200 might as well have been $2,000 every single month, right? And I just hated that. It just always felt like it was hanging over my head. And that's what lack does. You know, there's a spirit of lack that can plague people. And so God doesn't want us to live like that. So in Joshua 1:8, it says to not let this book of the law depart from our mouth, but meditating on it will be prosperous and have good success. So there's two things that we have to do here when we're talking about the law. Not letting it depart from your mouth. Speaking it is so important. And it's talking about meditating too. But I really want to focus on speaking it, right? You'll believe what you say more than what anybody else says, right? If you hear yourself say something, you're like, all right, well, then that's the truth, right? I say truthful things all the time, right, babe? I'm just constantly just flowing with truth, okay? That sounded close to an amen back there. But speaking God's promises, talking about the covenant over and over again. So you can kind of gauge where you're at if you just listen to yourself talk. Are you talking more about the circumstances or more about the covenant? That's a good way to tell whether or not you're living the covenant. And there's times you have to acknowledge a bad circumstance in your life. Like I totally get that. But what are you talking about more often than not? Is it the circumstance or is it the promise? Okay. So Philippians 4:19, so we're just going through some of the promises here, and I'm covering the main ones, but it says, God will meet all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And of course, you know, the church, we take things too far sometimes, right? You get to uber prosperity. I mean, here it's promising that he's going to meet your needs, right? And so whenever you're thinking about, you know, whenever you're dealing with lack or something like that, it's good to just remind yourself that there's a promise right here. I mean, that spells it out as clear as can be. In Psalm 35:27, it says, the Lord delights in the prosperity of his people. Amen. So God's our Father, right? If you're a parent, you delight in blessing your kids with stuff, right? That's just it's just fun. It's fun to see him. We went to the beach last week on vacation, and the little guys had never been to the beach, never been. And you would have thought, especially Mason, like we had brought him to another planet. Like he was just overflowing with joy. It was so good. I mean, all we had to do was drive 12 hours starting at 3 a.m, but we got him there. And whenever we got, you know, like we're exhausted and everything, but whenever we stepped on to the beach and saw his reaction, I mean, it was just like, oh man. It was totally worth it. God feels that same way about us, right? Like it is truly a parent-child relationship. And here we have very clearly spelled out that he delights in the prosperity of his people. So what does that say when his people are in lack, right? He doesn't like that. He doesn't want to see that, right? God delights in your prosperity. Malachi 3:10, let's just go to that one. That's a good one. We're going to talk about tithing. Everybody just buckle in. You got to do it. You got to do it. Malachi 3:10. I'm sorry. Malachi 3:10. Am I in the right spot here? Oh, I'm in chapter 2. There we go. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Right here, contract, covenant. I do something, God does something, right? So I've talked about this before, whenever I was younger, pretty stupid guy whenever I was younger, but I would tithe. I had enough sense to tithe. I was raised to tithe. Mom and dad did a good job. But what I was also doing was thinking about all the things I could be doing with that money, right? Bad mouthing it, just wishing that I didn't have to do it. And wouldn't you know it, it wasn't working. How about that? But whenever I changed my attitude towards it and treated it like what it is, which is acknowledging God as your source, I started to notice a change in circumstances, right? So instead of looking at my checking account as my source, or, there's a lot of things that you can look to as your source. Your employer is probably the easiest one that you get hung up on. Got to chase that next promotion. Got to chase that next raise. If I don't get this, I won't be able to have that. And God can use your employer. Like that is a channel, but that is not the source. He has channels that he can use, but don't focus on your job as your source or anything other than God. And so whenever you tithe, you're acknowledging him as your source, which is super important. So again, I just want to hit home. We're talking about living in the covenant. I do something, he does something, right? If you start to not follow the rules, right? Like how things are set up. I mean, everybody's, before you get saved, you think of God as just like he's just ready to crack a stick over your head, right? And just punish you for everything you do wrong. He's got all these rules. You can't do anything. I'm telling you, like if you follow this, it's common sense stuff. You'll just be much happier, right? Don't get drunk. That's an easy one, right? Everybody's like, oh man, I can't have any fun. The next day you're, thrown up, you got a headache or whatever. You've gained loads of weight because you're consuming all these calories. You spent all your money. You don't remember what you did last night. I mean, is that really how you want to live, right? He has it set up a certain way. Amen? So, before we move on from finances, how many know, like, you can tithe, you can claim the promises, but if you're going to live like a fool, you're just going to start canceling stuff out, right? And so that's really, there's no amount of covenant confessions you can do to overcome bad decisions. Right? Like that's just, we all, it's just easy to say, no, I'm just living in faith and you're, charging Arby's to a credit card, because, that's that you're just like, well, I got to eat. You know what I mean? Like, I bet you could have figured stuff out. Like the average debt I looked up, credit card debt is $9,000 in per household, right? At 24% interest. These are things that are designed to keep you in lack, right? Like that's what they're set up to do. So, I'm not going to harp on that too much, but I think the most important thing is, like, if you want God's will in your life, sometimes you have to get out of the way, right? Like, you can get in the way of what he's trying to do in your life through your decisions. And like I said, you can check all the other boxes and say all these scriptures every single day, but if you're still going to be foolish, you're not going to see the manifestation in your life. Amen? Amen. So we'll move on to physical health. That's important. How many of you know, like in the natural, your health is like your greatest asset, right? No matter what situation you're in, if you're healthy, you can get out of it, right? If you're healthy, you can go to work, you can go to church, you can do all those things. But the devil uses sickness to keep you from experiencing God's fullness in your life, right? And there's a spirit of sickness, right? And so let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. I want to leave Deanne plenty of time here because she said she's got so many great things to talk about. So I don't want to step on her toes here. So if we go to Proverbs 4, let's go over to verse 20. So it says, and I love the book of Proverbs. It's amazing. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So this is really important here. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline the ear unto my sayings. Do not let them depart from thine eyes. That's really important. You know, how many know, like, your eyes are what you use to focus on things, right? And it's real easy to get focused on whatever circumstance you're in. But here it's saying, read the contract. Read the covenant. That it is directly relating your health, in verse 22, to you reading the covenant. And it you know, we've all seen scriptures like so many times. That one finally popped for me one day. It's just like, so if you're believing God for healing or something like that, you definitely confess the scripture, definitely meditate on the scripture, but read it. Read it over and over and over again. That's an important thing. So if we go to, we don't have to turn there, but Psalm 107, if you're wondering, like, you know, well, does God want me healed, right? And maybe some people are dealing with that. Now, if you've been in this church, you know, like, man, we preach healing, like, for sure. There are different religions. They don't believe anything. You know, it's like, what do you have the Bible for? You don't believe in healing. You don't, you know, like, what is the point of all this, right? Like, so if we're taking it seriously and you're wondering, like, does God want me healed? Yeah, Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and healed them. What is his word? His word is the covenant. It all comes back to the covenant over and over. He sent his word to heal you, right? So whenever you're, you know, battling sickness, and, you know, I'm kind of like, I need to get better at this, but, like, you know, if I've got a headache, I'll just go take some ibuprofen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not always trying to believe my way out of, like, every single thing, and I need to get better at that. But, like, if you're really battling something, amen, right here is telling you exactly what to do. Let's go over to Exodus 23. We're going all over the place tonight, guys. Exodus 23. Let's go to verse 25. Let's see here. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. I do something, God does something. That's a theme. If you have not guessed, what I really want to hit home is we have to act. A covenant, a contract, it's a two-way street. You're not just signing up for a blessing of the month club, right? Where you just sit back, do whatever you want, and the blessing is just going to come on you. You've got to put in, you've got to hold up your end of the bargain, right? You got to do what the contract says that you should do. Here it says, and you shall serve the Lord your God. What does that mean? It means do what he wants, right? It means follow the word and the covenant, but it also means, like, when the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something, you got to act on it, right? Here it's saying, you shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. If you're serving him, you have a covenant right to healing, to have sickness taken away from your midst, right? So just like with finances, right, you need to look to God as your source of healing. Now, sometimes you may have something and that is your only source, right? The doctors may say, there's nothing we can do, right? Sometimes it's not like that. Thankfully, mostly it's not like that. And so you're just looking for, yeah, cut it out, doc, whatever we got to do. You know what I mean? Like, you're just looking to the doctor as this guy. I mean, this guy could be crazy. Like, you know, like he could be completely way off with what his diagnosis is, right? So, I mean, doctors are great. We love them. We need them. But at the end of the day, who are you acknowledging as your source for healing? Amen. So I would just encourage everybody, like, if you're battling sickness, look up every single healing scripture you can find. There are so many of them. There's a recording of Kenneth Hagin just, like, reading every healing scripture. I mean, come on. That's amazing, right? So, and just like with finances, you got to put his super with your natural, right? Like, if you're battling some sort of illness, don't do things that make the illness worse, right? If you're battling sickness in your body, don't do things that make you more sickly, right? You just, like, you're not charging Arby's. So you're two birds with one stone if you don't do that. You're not eating fast food and you're not putting things on a credit card. You got the first two knocked out here, guys. Amen. So the last thing that we'll talk about is our mental health. Amen. So we talked about finances and what the covenant said. And again, I did not pull out every single scripture. We'd be here for days about each one of these things. Just the ones that kind of stuck out to me that the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. But mental health. So how many of you know you can be prosperous and in good health, but still miserable? Right? So I had some friends that were extremely wealthy, like extremely wealthy and healthy, but just still miserable. Just when you talk, like, not, they were never happy, you know, all this money piled up and still not happy. And me, again, whenever I was younger, I was like, what more could you want? Like, are you kidding me? You guys are multimillionaires. You can buy anything you want. Still miserable, right? That doesn't solve the problem. So God also cares about our mental health, all right? And that's where, you know, that's where it's the easiest to attack you, right? It doesn't take any kind of buildup. Like, it can take a while for you to mess up your life financially. It can take a while for sickness to materialize in your life. He can mess with you mentally if you let him very quickly. Amen? And so this is a spot that's, you know, like, where we got to keep our defenses up. So the devil's a liar, and he always wants you to believe things that are not true. And so if you're thinking thoughts that don't line up with the covenant, you need to throw those thoughts out. And that's not easy to do. It's easy to stand up here and say, but whenever you're truly battling something, like, it is absolutely a battle to kick those thoughts out. So you can't just have an empty mind. You know, like Jill asked me sometimes, like when we were driving on vacation, she's like, so what are you thinking about? And I mean, completely empty. You know, as impossible as that sounds, I guess I'm focused on, like, let's just get home as fast as possible. The drive back from the beach was just, I mean, it was horrific, guys. It was awful. At 5 p.m. to get out and eat and realize we still had 3 more hours. So it's just like the most deflating experience ever. But your mind, you know, I said I wasn't thinking about anything, but obviously, you know, I am. So you have to fill up, if you're going to kick those thoughts out of your mind, you have to replace them with something else, okay? And that's where you go back to getting the word in front of your eyes, okay? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The important thing here that always jumps out to me, it says the spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear. That's its job. It's just to put fear in your life. I hate fear, okay? Fear, it keeps you, it affects your decision-making. Like, if you're making a fear-based decision, you're not going to live in the fullness of the promise, right? If you're making all of your decisions based on something that you're afraid of, that's no good. And so one important thing, and Pastor just said this a couple of weeks ago, fear is a spirit, and spirits have to be yielded to. Remember how at the beginning we were talking about the authority that we have, right, that God gave us? You have to yield to that spirit in order to let it in, okay? And once you let it in, it doesn't want to leave, right? And so it's really important that we realize what it is we're against. And so God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Sound mind is so important, especially in today's world, right? People are crazy. The stuff that's going on out west, like, these people have just lost it. And it's just this spirit just coming over people. And if you want to have a sound mind, look to the covenant. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Let's just go there. Let's go there. This is a good one. I'm promising you, D, I'm going to leave you time. I'm promising. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I love this: and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus. The world tries to offer peace through all sorts of different ways, right? But here it says that the peace of God, there's a big difference between the peace that the world tries to give you and the peace that God gives you, right? The peace that the world tries to give you usually involves some sort of chemical, right? Or something like that, or some sort of assurance that, you know, if I do this, then, you know, I'll be covered. But here it says, if you're careful for nothing and make But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. How many of you know, like, you can be going through a storm, but you don't have to let that storm go through you. And it says here, the peace that passes all understanding. It won't even make sense, right? I've been in some bad, I'm sure we all have. We've been in some really rough situations or rough patches in our lives, but it didn't bother us, right? We know what it looks like, but we didn't let it get in here. Amen. And it doesn't make sense because it passes all understanding. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I think we'll end it up right here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Casting your care is such an important thing. So here, we do something, he does something. Humble ourselves, right? Talking about a covenant is a two-way street. We got to humble ourselves. So, like, what does that mean when we're saying we humble ourselves and then it says cast all your care upon him? If you're not casting your care upon him, that's a pride thing, because you think that you have a better chance of fixing whatever this problem is than God does. So when we're not casting our cares, this is a humility issue. And I know it doesn't feel that way. It feels like, oh, I just can't shake it. But if you truly live in the covenant and believe what the Spirit, what God's word says, you can humble yourself and cast that care upon him, right? And so the main takeaway I just want everybody to remember is that you have say-so in your life, right? You have authority over your life. A lot of people will just go through and it's just like, that's just the hand I was dealt, right? We hear that one, like, that's just the hand I was dealt. And you may have been dealt a bad hand, absolutely. But if you're living in the covenant, the promises can get you out of that. And there are so many more promises in here. That God's covenant, he'll tell you anything you need to know. It's more than finances. It's more than physical health or mental health. I mean, he'll tell you what kind of person to marry, right? And if you can't find that person and you have to settle, there's nothing wrong with that, right, D? All right. All right, I told Jill, I was like, I do have a Scott joke. I just was trying to weave it in there. I've been sitting on that one for a little bit, so. But anyways, I just want to reiterate to everybody that living in the covenant, it is a lifestyle. Amen? It's an actual intentional choice to live according to what God's word says in your life. And don't forget, it's a two-way street. You have a responsibility in this as well. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, Deanne. I don't know if you want to come up here after that joke. That was a bad one.
All right. Amen. Wasn't that great? Even the joke at the end. I mean, I'm one for, you know, dogging on Scott. That's fine. He's only my husband. I'm going to kind of, we didn't coordinate what we were talking about, but I'm going to kind of talk about what Dustin ended on. I'm going to talk about joy and keeping your joy full. So let's go to Galatians, and we'll go to chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 22. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And if you notice, all of those things have to do with how we interact with the world, right? It has to do with kind of our attitudes, you know, long suffering. Nobody likes that one. But it's how you're interacting with the world. And joy is one that I feel like I don't want to say we've kind of lost, but I feel like God is trying to tell just, I think, the church as a whole, like, both Pastor Chuck and Pastor Jerry have talked about joy the past couple of services. And I feel like I'm one for finding new music for Christian music, praise and worship songs. And I feel like there are more songs now being written about joy than I feel like I've ever seen. I mean, yeah, we have the kids' songs. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. You know, like we have those. But I feel like just recently there's been just a huge wave of song, good worship, praise songs about the joy. We just did one tonight. And I feel like God is trying, with all the stuff going on in the world, God is, I feel like, trying to call us back to focus on your joy and where you're finding your joy. Amen. So if you look at this, the fruit of the Spirit, what does fruit have to grow? A seed, right? You start with the seed. That seed has already been planted in us. The joy, the seed of joy is already in us. And we are responsible for growing that, for cultivating that, for growing our joy. That is up to us. God's already put that seed in there. It's up to us to determine what level of joy we're going to walk in, right? And like natural fruit or vegetables that you grow in your garden, you can have a little or you can have a lot. Scott has, for whatever reason, decided to get into planting tomatoes. And he has little buckets or 5-gallon buckets out back. And he, every day he goes out and he waters them if it hasn't been raining. And one of his tomato plants has a little, like probably just about that big, a green tomato. It's not ripe yet, but it's getting there. None of the other plants have anything on it yet, but it's getting there. And I feel like that's kind of where we need to gauge, like, where's my joy at? Is it teeny tiny little bitty and I need to work on growing it? Or is it already big and I can grow it even bigger, right? You know, they have those contests, and I think it's in the fall for like the biggest pumpkins, you know, like let's see how big we can get our joy, right? And we have to remember that joy is different than the emotion of happiness, because happiness goes up and down depending on what's going on in your life, right? How your job's going, whether you just lost your job, you know, whether you got a raise. If you're just going by what is going on in your life, you are going to be all over the place, right? Because we're all going to go through things in life. And if that is what determines your joy, you're not going to be very happy, right? And I feel like that is why the world is so messed up, because they are looking for this joy. They don't know it, but they're looking for this joy, and they're constantly searching for this joy, but they think it's happiness. They think it's the emotion of happiness, and that's why you get people turning to drugs, alcohol, because they are just looking for a way to escape what's going on in their lives. But we know this. We don't have to escape. We can go through it with the word of God, right? We can have joy. The joy of the Lord is constant. It's unmovable, right? It doesn't waver. It doesn't care if you just lost your job. It doesn't care, as horrible as this sounds, as if a loved one died. It's still going to be constant. Yes, we're going to mourn when it's time to mourn. But you don't stay in that. That joy picks up in that horrible thing. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. He acknowledged the emotion of sadness, of mourning, but he didn't stay there. He's like, all right, let's go. Let's get him up. Let's get him out. You know, joy doesn't let us stay in that place of mourning. Amen. Joy is not what you feel because things are going well. It's the expression of faith that causes things to go well. Amen. It's what you stay in until things go well, and then you can be like, praise God, I went through it. Amen. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Amen. So what is rejoicing? It is an act. It is the act of joy. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. This is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. So that's twice, at least twice, that they're saying rejoice always. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. So this is a command to us. This is not something that it's like, oh, well, if you feel like it. Because why? Because joy is not dependent on how you feel, right? Joy is a constant. Joy is a constant state of being, to be glad or to make glad. That is rejoicing. Doesn't matter what's going on. Amen. And the thing is, if it wasn't a choice for us to walk in joy, he wouldn't command us to do it, right? He commands us to do it that because it is a choice for us to walk in joy, to have joy, to cultivate the joy. Rejoicing is an expression. It's an act of faith. Even though you're going through something, you can still rejoice because you know in the end, it's all going to work out, right? Because you've got this. You've got the promises of God. Amen. In Psalm 118:24, and we all know this, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Again, that's saying we will rejoice. Amen. Psalm 71, and if you read through Psalms, it's all over the place. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. Again, it's stating a fact. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. Amen. Let's real quick turn to Psalm 30. And we'll look at verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. God does not want us to live in mourning. And there's multiple places where it says, you've turned my mourning into dancing. You've turned my sorrow into joy. God does not want us to stay in mourning, in sorrow, in depression, in just feeling blue. He does not want that for us. He wants us to be in the joy of his joy. Amen. And in Romans, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God made joy part of his kingdom. It's in his nature to be joyful. And that's why he put it in us to cultivate and be a fruit of living in the Spirit. That is supposed to be growing in us. And so you might say, okay, I know that. I learned that from a kid. But how do I increase my joy? Like, what do I do? And believe me, I know I haven't been through, you know, big trials in life. Thank the Lord. But I've worked retail. How many of y'all worked retail? It is not for the faint of heart. Yes. It is hard to keep your joy in those little interactions. Especially, I worked in customer service. So, you know, my first job was at Value City, and I was in high school at the time, and I was just there to take people's payments and answer the phones. And they told me, if anybody comes up and starts, like, complaining, yelling, you don't have to take that. You just step back and say, let me go get my boss. And that was very nice. But when I worked at a Christian bookstore, I was the one to come when they start yelling and being mean. I have to step in for the cashiers. And that is not fun. And so even in those little things, it's hard. It's hard to stay joyful. It's hard to bring yourself back out of those situations. So, and now I'm at home with three children, and that's a tough situation in and of itself. The first thing that you can do is keep your hope up. Hope and joy go hand in hand. Let's look really quick at Romans 15. And we're going to look at verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He calls himself the God of hope. And he's going to fill you with joy and peace. And they go hand in hand, because then when you're believing in that, then you abound in hope. Again, it's kind of like a cycle. So you get your build your hope, you're going to build your joy, and then build your hope. And it just keeps building on each other. Amen? Amen. I like this quote that Bill Johnson has. He says, hope gives us permission to experience the joy of a breakthrough before the breakthrough comes. Amen. It's being able to recognize that you have promises in God that answer literally everything you're going through in life. Literally everything. That is why we can have joy, because we have the hope that what he said in here, as long as we believe it, will come to pass. We just got to stick with it. Amen. And that is why we can have joy. So keep your hope in the word. Amen. And with that goes faith and all the other stuff that we teach here, but keep your hope up, and your joy will come with it. Amen. In Proverbs, it says, the hope of the righteous brings joy. Amen. So again, keep that hope up. Number two, let's go to John 15. I know we're jumping around here. John 15, verse 11. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So what is he talking about when he says, these things I have spoken to you? So we just jump right back up, and that's where he's talking about that he is the vine and we are the branches. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and all it's that back and forth of abiding, we need to abide in Christ. That is what he's talking about to fulfill verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And when he says your joy may be full, that also means your joy can be little, right? He wants your joy to be full. So you need to make sure that you're abiding in him. In verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Amen. So doing all of those things, abiding in Christ, will keep our joy full. Amen? And number three, get in the presence of the Lord. Amen? In Psalm 16, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Yes. Right? Yes. Fullness means the state of being filled to capacity, which means there's not room for more. Right? So again, God wants us to have fullness of joy, and that is in his presence. It doesn't have to be here. It can be at your house. It can be in your car on the way to work. Yes. Just get in his presence, and there's just something like I can tell when I'm like praising and worshiping, and I can just kind of feel it when it's like, and not that we go by feelings, but I can just tell when it's like the presence is there. And I mean, obviously, we can feel it here. And if you're here and you're not entering in to the presence of the Lord, your joy is not going to be full. Because just because you're here sitting or standing at the seats and the presence of God is here, if you're not entering into that presence, that's not going to do anything for you. You can feel the presence, but if you're not surrendering to that presence, it's not going to work for you. Amen? So you have to make sure that you are actually entering into the presence of the Lord. All right? And number four, give voice to your joy. Rejoice. Amen? Let's see. I have this written down. I'm not sure what it says, but we'll just go there. Psalm 71. There's a lot of psalms that I just get mixed up on what's what. So let's go to Psalm 71 and verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed, greatly rejoice. And some translations say shout for joy. And it's crazy. It's fitting. If you look in the Psalms, most of the times when it says rejoice, it's shout. They include a shout in there. Amen. You have to give voice to your joy. I'm telling you, sometimes I feel like Christians need to get past the sound of their own voice. I did. Do you know what I'm saying? We can make a sound in church when not just singing the songs. And I might step on some feet here. So it's okay to shout in church. Okay, don't do it while, like, it's not a shouting moment, like, you know, where pastor's preaching and you interrupt him, you know. But I'm sure if pastor says something great, he wants a shout of, you know, amen. But in praise and worship, I know I've sat in the back before and it's not, the music isn't super, super loud, but it's okay for people to hear your voice. It really is. It really is okay. And you know what? God kind of requires it. And all, like, think about David. God called David a man after his own heart. And David wrote, I don't know what percentage of the Psalms that he wrote, but he wrote a lot of those when he was saying, I will shout for joy. You know? And I feel like we should be taking notes on what he did right to make him be called the man after God's own heart, right? Sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. Sometimes if you're looking for a breakthrough or you're looking for your joy to build, like, I really need to, and I feel like I'm there too, so I'm not, like, up here saying this like I'm, you know, holier than thou or anything. I have 3 children under the age of 6. So I need it too. But sometimes you just have to say, tell your soul, you will bless the Lord and you will shout joyfully unto God with a voice of triumph. What is a voice of triumph? Not a whisper, right? When soldiers went into battle, they had a war cry, right? And I remember, and I've told the story multiple times, youth group, I'm sorry, you've heard this, this will probably be for like the 20th time. But this really marked me, and if Jill will remember this, we went to, Jill and I and a couple of our friends went to a conference, a Christian, I don't really know, I think it was like an end of the year thing, so it was like a whole like week long thing, and we went for just a couple of days, and we went into their prayer room where they have 24/7 prayer, like it's just, they're going all, you know, 24 hours a day, they rotate in their, you know, their musicians and stuff. And usually, because it's a room for people to just go in and just pray and worship, usually the music is very, you know, low-key, worshipful. Well, we had come out of one of the main sessions of, like, the preaching and stuff, and we were just kind of sitting in the hallway talking about, I don't know, what we were going to do for lunch or something. And all of a sudden, we hear, like, this, and we're like, is that coming out of the prayer room? And so we go, like, we're kind of, like, listening, and then we start hearing shouts. And then we're like, okay. And so we're like, let's go. Let's go see what's going on. And so we kind of just stand in the back. And I forget what they're singing. I don't know if it's, was it, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. And so they started singing that song. And so we're like, okay, this is pretty good. And so we're back there, like, we're worshiping, but we're worshiping how we normally worship. Like, you know, maybe like this, maybe a little bit of this. But then it was like we decided, because people were dancing. Like, it was like the joy of the Lord had broke out in this room. People were dancing. People were running the laps. Like, it was like, it was crazy in the room. They were so rejoicing so much. And here we were, along with other people who were just kind of doing, you know, our own normal reserved thing. And we just decided, I'm going to jump in. And so we started, like, we shouted, we danced, and we did all this stuff. And it's like something broke free, like, that I didn't even know was bound in me, that I didn't care what these other people in the back were thinking, because the people in the back were doing their that thing. But we jumped in, and I'm serious, something broke loose. And ever since then, I don't care. I'm tied down up here by my guitar, but I move as much as I can. And I want to express to the Lord my joy, the joy that He's given me. And I don't care who hears it. I don't care if my voice cracks, which it does a lot. I don't care who thinks that, oh my gosh, that was not in any key at all. And it sounded horrible, but I don't care, because it's not, maybe it shouldn't be, maybe I should step back from my mic and maybe, you know, you all shouldn't hear it, but it's to the Lord and it's beautiful to Him. He doesn't care if you can carry a tune. He doesn't care. Everything is sweet to Him. When I hear my children singing, it's more like, I've tried to tell Rose, like, Rose, you're singing in your talking voice. That's not your singing voice. But she doesn't care. She's just going to yell the song. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. That's okay. You just yell it. But it's so sweet, especially when it's a worship or praise song to the Lord. Like, they love the joy song that we do. And they will sing, "You're giving me joy." And it is just yelling at the top of their lungs. But you know what? That blesses me, because I know that is coming from their heart. And they love that song so much. It touches them. That's the way God is. He loves to hear you rejoicing. And sometimes you have to get past yourself, your own mind, of what other people are going to think, what it's going to sound like. What are they going to think if I start dancing or if I start jumping? Like, no, I can't do that. God wants you to. Because if you're in service and you feel like you're supposed to be doing that and you don't, do you know what that's called? Disobedience. Right? Right? So why is joy so important? In Nehemiah 8, it talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it was told to the people, and I can't exactly remember all the history leading up to it, but the people had just heard the word, the law, read to them in their own language where they could understand it. And a lot of them, was the first time they had heard the law read, and they were just overcome with grief because they realized that they couldn't live up to the law. And so that's when God told them, don't mourn. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is what's going to get you through that. It's going to give you the strength to get through it. Amen. And in Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy got Jesus through the most horrendous thing that could ever happen to a human being. There's a reason we don't do those things today as punishment for people, for criminals. There's a reason we don't still treat people like that, because it's considered inhumane to do the things that Jesus had done to Him. We just watched The Passion of the Christ around Easter with the youth. And I'd seen it before, and it was one I had always kind of like, it's not one that you're just like, oh, hey, Friday night, let's watch The Passion of the Christ. Because it's just so powerful. And seeing the depiction of what they could show on there without physically hurting. And I know, like, Scott has gone kind of into a deep dive on what happened on the set of filming, like the injuries that occurred just from filming to the actors, the scenes. But they can't even show what the extent to what they did. And the thing It was the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. The joy of the Lord is that strong. If it can get Jesus through the cross, it can get you through anything. You just have to stay in hope. You have to abide in him, in his word. Get in his presence and then give voice to your joy. Amen. So I'm going to do something really quick. I've got a few minutes. We're going to close your Bibles. Set them down to the side. We're going to do an activity. I know this is not normal. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Youth, you too. Okay, if you need to, get out to the aisles. And this is not a, you may get out to the aisles if you'd like to. No, get out to the aisles if you're in the middle of the rows. If you need to come up here, come up here. Everybody get out. I don't want to see anybody in this area. We're doing it. We're doing it, guys. All right. We're going to practice our shouts. All right? I'm going to say hallelujah, and I want you, it's going to be a call and response. Okay? Hallelujah. 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 All right. Okay? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Is everybody saying it? If you didn't say it, raise your hand. I'm going to shame you. All right, we're going to try it again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now we're going to say it as loud as you can. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, now, if you're physically capable, let's jump. We're doing it. Now, yeah, if you need to, go on each leg. Like, do like this. It's called the Pentecostal shuffle. That's what we call it. Right? We can do this, guys. All right, you can stop. You may go back to your seats. All right. You may sit down. Thank you, Travis, Jason. Okay. We can do it, guys. We can sing. We can shout. And we can dance. I know that wasn't dancing, but I wasn't going to make you guys do that. You're welcome. You can do it. You can come out from your seats. You can come out. You can stand in the aisles if you need to. You don't have to come all the way up front, but you can do this. I wanted to prove to you guys that it is okay. It is okay to leave your seats. It is okay to shout. Amen. Because what on Sunday we sang, look what the Lord has done. And if any song can get you out of your seats, in the aisles, jumping and dancing, it's got to be that one. Because if he's, and like what Greg said on Sunday, if he's done nothing but save you from hell, that in and of itself is worth a shout, is worth a dance. Amen? Amen. So I want to challenge you, get out of your comfort zone. Get deeper into your joy. Give a shout. And do it at home, on the car ride on the way home. Sometimes, when I was going through, I don't want to say infertility because two and a half, 3 years trying for a baby was hard. And I was working, and the ride to and from work, that was my time to, and it wasn't, I had worship songs, sure, but it was my time to praise. I had the Pump It Up Faith songs on, and the shout in the car by myself. That is what kept me going. When we had a miscarriage, and then we're trying again for a baby. Again, I put on that same playlist because I knew that I could not wallow in my grief. I had to get that joy. I had to get that joy back up in me. I had to cultivate that seed of joy in me because I knew that I was meant to have a baby. I knew that from the bottom of my heart. And I knew that to get there, I had to shout. I had to rejoice. I had to put voice to the joy that was in my heart that I needed to bring back up. And I just want to encourage you, don't wait until you're going through something to get that joy stirred up in you. Don't wait, because it's hard to do. Once you if your joy has tanked and you've lived in that little bitty tiny, tiny seed of joy for a long time, if you allow your joy to get there, it is hard to bring it back up when you really, really need it. You can, because God will help you, because he's your strength. But it's so much easier if you keep that joy. You keep your level of joy up. And then when things come at you, it doesn't knock you down. You're like, you know what? I have hope in a better covenant, a better promise than what the world gives. And I don't have to go. I don't have to live in grief. I don't have to live in mourning. I can be joyful even going through whatever I'm going through. Amen. So I encourage you, get out of your comfort zone, dance, jump, shout. I don't care what you do, even if you haven't lifted your hands before and that's a step out in joy for you, do it. Do something you haven't done before. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.